Taylor, I just stop. Stop with this.
I truly do feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. Let me just set this up. Missed the Monday Night Football game. You're probably living under a rock if you have not heard about it by now. But opening drive, Aaron Rodgers goes down, carted to the locker room, immediately, pretty much immediately ruled out for the rest of the game. Somehow Zach Wilson leads them to a victory. And if the NFL is scripted, I don't know how this script wasn't thrown out after it's the only thing that we've talked about all offseason. What is Aaron Rodgers going to be like on this Jets team? He really was that only missing puzzle piece. They went out and they got everything that they needed. They got they had offensive rookie of the year last year, defensive rookie of the year last year. It was really like the only missing puzzle piece was Aaron Rodgers. And now, bam, just like that. But you know what? All is not lost because they just went out there and they beat the Bills on Monday Night Football, and that is not easy with a quarterback who was not expecting to even play at all.
Taylor, we were discussing this really since yesterday. All right, you know, we'll come in, we'll talk about the things we really learned. What did we really take away from week one? And it's just one of these moments in life where you take a script and you rip it up and you throw it out. What else mattered? All I can say is what we saw at the Meadowlands tonight was – I'm not going to call it a miracle because, I mean, that has been used before with other plays. But considering, as you said, four plays in, we lost what was the number one storyline. And to think that we would still get a storyline that in many ways in the moment felt like it even topped that because of what happened in the outcome of the game, blown away. I mean, look what it took to get to that point. Once Rodgers goes down in that game, look what had to happen in this game in order for this to be the outcome, Taylor. What happened to Josh Allen, we will never see again. Are we going to see Josh Allen throw three picks to the same player again in his career, most likely? Probably not going to happen. Then to lose a fumble, then to have a walk-off 65-yard punt return touchdown after the Bills received the ball first in overtime, after kicking a 50-yard field goal to send the game to overtime that hits the upright and banks in.
I know. Yeah, no, that was wild, but it just goes to show that anything can happen any given week. And wow, I really do feel for the Jets right now, though. They went out and they kind of broke the bank, not necessarily in money terms, but in terms of what they gave up. They spent all offseason trying to recruit him, and now it's just all for nothing. But I don't think it's Here's why I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's all for nothing is because I think that Zach Wilson can be that quarterback. And I think he can actually be a good quarterback with Aaron Rodgers in his ear. We've already seen how much he's grown, how much he's developed, how much he just exudes so much more confidence after having spent the last couple of months with him. So I don't think it was all for nothing, but it is a really painful loss.
I feel for the producers at Hard Knocks also, because this feels like the best episode, right? We just got the best episode right now. But Taylor, we're thinking about, all right, what did we actually learn? You know, we learned that unfortunately the Jets may have to do this without Aaron Rodgers for the entire season. Yeah. That's what it's looking like. But did we learn that perhaps based on what Saleh and that team still has, that this is well worth believing in? When you line up what the AFC East is, the Jets were going to be such a story because of Rodgers, but could they be a story because of something else? And certainly tonight we saw that. So are we willing to believe, you know, what did we learn? What did we learn more about, right? If we have to say we're going to take one thing away, are we more likely to say that we're going to get this version of the Jets all season, or more likely to say we're going to get this version of the Bills? I would say it feels much more like the Bills are going to be a different team in 8 weeks than the Jets.
No, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. And I think that, look, I think we also saw the Chiefs kind of like go and lay an egg in week one. And those are two teams that in the big picture come week eight, I don't think we're going to be overly concerned about either one of those two teams. Let's talk about things that week one takeaways that we do think that are going to hold true through.
Can I please segue for one that makes perfect sense, and I'll explain why. I'm going to show this little t-shirt right now. Okay. This little t-shirt, little tiny t-shirt, is what we got for Levi to start the Eagle season. Okay. Mommy and Daddy got the same little t-shirt made up. And each year we try to choose a really cool Eagles play and put it on the shirt. And what is this, Taylor? This is Deshaun Jackson with a 65-yard punt return at the Meadowlands to walk off the Giants in 2010. 65-yard walk-off punt return at the Meadowlands, which we were wearing on Sunday to root on the Eagles. And look at what happens Monday night with a walk-off 65-yard punt return touchdown by Gibson and the Jets in that same building. They called it Miracle at the Meadowlands for the Eagles, and this was certainly the miracle at the Meadowlands with what we saw on Monday Night Football. But my point in all of that is, I'm going to take it right back to the Meadowlands. Things we took away from this week one. Yes, of course, in recent memory is what happened on Monday night. But can we just rewind a touch for Sunday night? I'm just going to say that something you and I have discussed many, many times, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. That was obviously scary good. And to think that the home team just the night earlier was beaten 40-0 and the emotional high of what happens with the Jets tonight, it's incredible, the juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. But the takeaway will be, Taylor, the Cowboys are winning the NFC East. The Cowboys are winning the NFC East. The Cowboys are a team to be reckoned with. Dak.
Be reckoned with last year.
They were, but it was obviously the Eagles season. And I'll just say this much. Dak Prescott and what he does against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts has never beaten Dak Prescott. Dak is 3-1 in his last four games against the Eagles.
In the NFC East.
Without question. Without question. So that's my takeaway.
Another NFC team that I'm all in on. I think they are the team to beat in that division, that conference, is the 49ers.
Well, that was scary.
6 months to the day, Brock Purdy looked like he did not have an elbow injury. He looked 100% healthy. And Kyle Shanahan having an entire offseason with Christian McCaffrey, that team is stacked. Top to bottom, the best roster in the league. Obviously, one of the best coaches.
Say it again, Taylor. Say it again. Best roster in the league, and I'm with you on that. As frightened as I am and the league should be about what the Cowboys did, the Niners.
They lost Amico Ryan's. Huge loss, absolutely, but it does not matter. They should be, barring any major injuries, which obviously we saw them have last year. They were a quarterback away from making it to the Super Bowl last year. So barring any crazy injuries like what we saw in the NFC Championship game, they're going to be right back there, better than ever. I mean, they destroyed a Steelers team who really had a lot of hype in the preseason with Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, and they went in there and just...
And in Pittsburgh. Taylor, in Pittsburgh, you don't just walk into Pittsburgh and smash a team like that. You don't smash Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh like that very often with an entire offseason to prepare. That was impressive. That was scary to start that Sunday looking like that. Not to mention they dropped interceptions. I mean, that game could have been even more lopsided. The Niners are scary good. I'm sticking with the Cowboys. A sprinkle of a little something on the Browns for me. That had shades of something that I think could happen the rest of the way. But Taylor, ultimately, we have to just go back for a moment to just the Monday Night Football game. I'm just still, I'm still just flush like with emotion about.
Which I swear to God, and I was so nervous. I'm thinking, I don't even have any like rooting interests in this game, except for like everybody who loves football is glued to the TV right now and just so emotionally tied to this game. And I was thinking, wow, football is back and I am so happy. But I really could do without all this stress eating right now.
Bills minus 1.5 had me stressed. I was on Bills minus 1.5. So I was feeling that and hoping for that. And so I really thought, okay, they got the ball in overtime. You know, once the field goal doinks in, I'm thinking, all right, this is going to happen. Then the coin toss is won. Here we go, Josh Allen, redemption time. And wow, the script was even better than we can imagine. All right, Taylor, we will have so much more to catch up on.
Here we go.
Okay, give it to me, please.
Give three things that we saw in week one that we think are going to hold true.
Okay.
So I guess you can go either way with it. I'm going to start with Thursday Night Football, which was first game of the year, Lions against the Chiefs. Chris Jones obviously locked up his massive contract. He is no longer holding out, which is a huge component for that Chiefs defense. They're going to be getting Travis Kelce back either this week, next week, sometime soon. Doesn't matter when, if it's 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I don't really care, because once he is back, we know what that connection means. That being said, I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to be good. I'm not worried about them. I'm not concerned, especially when they get these pieces back. But I am still buying in on the Lions a little bit. I know you're not, but I think that Jared Goff, with Dan Campbell as his head coach, I think that his confidence was shattered after what happened in LA with Rams. Young quarterback, Sean McVay stopped believing in him, and understandably so. It's going to shake somebody's confidence like that. I think that he has come a long way. We saw what he did when he was with the Rams. He took them to a Super Bowl. Did not win, but he took them there. So we know what he has the potential to do. I think that we are going to see a much better Lions team. I am wearing a Vikings shirt, not intentionally right now, but I really got out of the bath quick to do this podcast.
I love it. I love it. I love it, Taylor.
Yeah, so a normally dominant team in that division is the Vikings, and we didn't see much from them. So
you're going Lions. So you believe in Lions. You're going number one, believe in Lions. Okay, I'll match you on that one.
I'm not concerned for the Chiefs.
Okay, so you got that's two for you. So two takeaways for you are Chiefs are all good, Lions are for real. I'll give you two real quick. Browns are a playoff team. That was, I'm sorry, but
in 2020, Sean Watson is back.
That was real. It was that there was something there. And I know the Bengals started slow last season also. So it's not necessarily about them. I'm just talking also, Browns.
The Browns have the Bengals number in Cleveland. They have beat them six straight.
And that matters in that division. I mean, if you got the Bengals number, that's starting to get you there when you talk about being a playoff team. So I am in on the Browns. I'm not with you on the Lions, but that doesn't matter. And the other thing I will say, I'm going to say Tyreek Hill could be the offensive player of the year.
Holy shit. Yeah.
I'm going to say Tyreek Hill could be the offensive player of the year. I believe that was such a performance. And I know I will be right somewhere in the lines of Tua or Tyreek. I'm not quite taking both with that statement right now, but I'm going to say Tyreek.
Something. And then Tyreek had
215.
Yeah. Nuts.
He's just
who played them in fantasy.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be on the right side of that, but wow, I'm just going to say Tyreek. I mean, yes, it's 1 week, but to be that kind of a difference maker at that position, it's just so incredible. And to just think back to what we really
were assuming.
I'm buying offensively what the Dolphins bring to the table. Yes, and just with Tyreek Hill being the most exciting player in the league, that is what my definitive statement will be. Tyreek Hill is the one most explosive, incredible, unpredictable player to watch in the league. I'm going to say he's the offensive player of the year, period. That's it.
Spoke yesterday or today and said that he was thinking about a nickname change after this instead of that he wants to get cheated. Understandable.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, so those were two. Exactly. Those were two. You had two. And I guess the other one, you said Niners are the best roster in football. I think you're sticking with that as your takeaway. And I'm going to stick with my third also, which is the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. I definitively want to stamp that. You know, I'm adapted to Dak Prescott. I'm going to stick with that. Those games against the Eagles are what it's going to come down to. And I think, again, it doesn't all have to be about week one, but what's going to happen in those matchups, that's what matters. All right, Taylor, we will catch up for more. Three great takeaways. And what we saw tonight, Monday Night Football, just, I mean, it got you out of the bath quick. Look at you. It was done. And then you said, Sam, we have to do something about this. I'm sorry. This is just too much. This is too ridiculous. We absolutely have to. So Taylor, there will be plenty more weeks to do this. And again, the highlight of our week certainly is not just talking to one another, but having storylines like this again and again